announcements for the week. First of all, good morning, Crossville Church. Don't let me forget that. There are some announcements that are just regular events that are in your bulletin, if you'll keep an eye out for those. But for this week, well, this afternoon, choir practice at 5, and we're still looking for new members. We have some more room. The small groups are meeting at 6. There is an NDI, which is a Nazarene Discipleship Committee meeting this evening, or Wednesday evening at 5 o'clock. The last Super Summer Something is this coming Wednesday night at 6. The church board is going to be responsible, and the menu is baked potatoes and the fixings, and there is a sign-up sheet. Men's ministry meeting is next Saturday, August 10th, 9 o'clock. There is a Bread of Life wish list in the foyer, and we do need your help with some of these items so you can find them and bring them in for Bread of Life. Church board meeting, August 12th, 6:30 in the conference room. Young at Heart Ice Cream Social, August 16th at 2. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer also. And then everything else that's happening in August is in the bulletin. And we do thank you for your faithfulness in giving. There are donation boxes at the back of the room. Thank you.
I heard that last Sunday night, and I was going to tell you, as they were practicing, and I was going to tell you, if that don't crank your motor, something's wrong with your starter. Anyway, it's good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here, and I'm glad to tell you that if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can be before you leave this service this morning. Praise His name. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord. Stand with us as you are able as we sing this morning.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, as we gather again this day, Lord. It's a day, oh God, indeed. We worship and we celebrate. And Lord, we want to rejoice and praise your holy name, for thou art worthy. Lord, we pray this morning for the needs of our church, for our community. Throughout this congregation this morning, Lord, there are needs. And Father, I just pray your touch upon them. Bring comfort and bring peace. And let the hope of Jesus Christ that surpasses all things, Lord. That, Lord, you're Lord and Savior of us all. We love you and we love one another. In the mighty name of Jesus we ask. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to begin with verse 1 and go down through verse 15 here in just a little bit. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 15. How would you sum up yourself? Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, think about that for a minute. How would you sum up, if someone were to say, who are you? What are you? What would you say? I mean, I guess the first thing that we would have to say, well, I am a person. You know, I mean, but that's good. But it doesn't tell a whole lot about you, does it? We're all people. Some of you I'm not real sure about, but you know. So that was not in the notes, incidentally, just so you'll know that. Some of us might say, well, I'm a parent, or some of you might say, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a housewife, I'm a retired person. I mean, and especially for our students this week, they would say, I am a student. They start back this week, you know. And all of these things are true, but to be quite honest, they don't say much about you or the essential quality of you and who you are. Let me tell you this about sermons. Sermons get started in all kinds of different ways. It might be a word that is spoken. It might be a verse that is read. It might be something that a pastor sees. And my full intention this morning, as we were coming together, was for this week and the next 7 weeks, we were going to begin looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And the whole premise behind that was all the things that Jesus said about himself as we were going through the seven churches. You remember, as we went through there, those, Jesus was constantly describing himself to those churches. And so all of that began. And so I jumped in right there at chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, where Jesus says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. And immediately after those words, he begins to talk about the fact that he walks among, he has the seven stars in his right hand, and he walks among the seven lampstands. You go next to Smyrna, and there he is the one who is the first and the last who has come to life again. To Pergamum, he describes himself as the one who has a sharp and a double-edged sword. To Thyatira, he said, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. You go to Sardis, and there he says he is the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. To Philadelphia, he was the one who is the holy and true and holds the key of David, who opens the doors that no one can shut and shuts the doors that no one can open. To Laodicea, he says, I am the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of all creation. Well, as I begin to think about this message this morning, I realized that maybe what I should have done before I even preach those messages, is preach this one. Because if you go to Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, there he says to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. I mean, he goes on down, and he comes down to verse 8, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and is to come. You go to verse 17 and 18 of Revelation 1, and there he says, don't be afraid, I am the first and the last, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. So even in Revelation, as he begins to talk about these statements, he begins by saying who he is. Very descriptive words.
But that's not where it all started. I'm not finished with my introduction yet. Y'all hold on. We're going to get there, I promise. And then you go to John's gospel, and you find those seven I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Some people say that even there that Jesus does give an eighth statement of who he is. And you find that in John chapter 8. He's having a discussion with some Jews who John says had believed in him. And everything was going great in that discussion there in John chapter 8 until you get to verse 58 when Jesus says these words, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Well, now let me just go ahead and tell you, that upset the apple cart. They got very, very angry when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." They wanted to kill him. That's how angry they got. Well, the reason that they got that angry about this whole situation is because at that point in time, Jesus used a phrase that, as far as the Jews were concerned, was only reserved for God and God alone. The words, "I am," there at the end of that sentence, those were for God. And those were the words that God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. So that's where we're going to start this morning. That's where we're going to begin. And it's a long passage of Scripture, and it is 10 minutes till 11, which means I've got 40 minutes. Here we go. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush, and Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses,' and Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers and am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.' Moses said to God, 'Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name that you shall call me from generation to generation.'" This is the word of the Lord. Isn't it amazing? I mean, it really is. In God's Word, you really find a lot of different ways that He spoke to people. I mean, He spoke through the prophets. He worked through visions. But here in Exodus 3, He speaks to Moses through a burning bush. Now that's quite an amazing event. I mean, you read about it. Moses had been raised in the finest palaces. He had eaten the best foods. He had attended the best school. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as far as everyone was concerned, except a few people. And he had to flee Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian and Pharaoh was wanting his head. He goes to a place called Midian, and there he marries a woman by the name of Zipporah. And he begins to tend sheep from the palace to the pasture. Wow. I mean, you think about it all. He did that for 40 years. Now, he had been in Egypt for 40 years, and now he is in the pasture land for 40 years. He's an 80-year-old man. He's watching the sheep out near a mountain called Horeb. We call it Mount Sinai, but it is at this place that Moses has an encounter with God. He goes over to see what's happening. I've always loved that passage where it says, and Moses saw it and says, I think I'll go over and look. Yeah, that would be something to see. I mean, I've watched fire as it gets into bushes before, especially cedar trees like we had in Alabama as I was growing up. And I'm telling you, those things go up. And when they go up in fire, they don't last long. But here Moses is watching a bush. It is on fire. It should be gone in almost an instant, but it's not. So Moses says, I will go over and see what is happening. And it's at that point that God begins to speak. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Moses understood that. Now, even though he had been raised in the palace, his mother, his real mother, had taken care of him. And I believe that all the while she whispered in his ear of what he was really supposed to believe and how he was really supposed to live. Because of who he was and what he was. He was a Jew. Amen? That's what he was. And Moses immediately says, and I understand Moses' statement here because I really felt a call to preach at 9 years old. And at first that was okay because that was good. And you know, I saw all the things happening in the church and they were good. But then I hit my teen years. And not everything that happens in churches is good. I'm not trying to burst your bubble. I'm just telling you the truth. And Moses says to God, I don't think I want to do this. That's the bony paraphrase of that, okay? Who am I, he says, that I should go and do this? And God says to Moses at that point, you know, I am who I am. I am the one who is sending you. I am the one who is going to do this. You simply need to be a mouthpiece for me. You say, William, all this is really good, and I'm really glad you've brought us up to speed on this history lesson. But what does that have to do with us today? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question because I'm about to tell you. This is where you have to start. Before you can jump into those I am statements of Jesus, you really have to come to this point. You have to come to this place, and you really have to begin to realize all that Jesus was saying when he uses those words. I am. And so this morning we're going to look at three things. The first thing that I think that you need to see is that when God says I am, he is saying to them and he is saying to us, I exist. When God says I am, he's saying to them, he's saying to us, I exist. At the basis of every type of religion in the world, there is this belief that there is a being. Okay? A God with a little g, okay? I mean, no matter what kind of faith you think of, whether it's Christianity with the big G, or Buddhism, or Islam, or Judaism, or Hinduism, all those other isms out there, they begin with the basic statement and the basic idea that there is a God. I mean, some of those religions have a fat man sitting, you know, kind of in Indian style in front of a temple. I am beginning to look more and more like that guy every day. Other religions have many gods. I mean, others claim that we are gods. But no matter what faith you are a part of, you have to begin at some point, some place in time, with the idea that there is a God, because it is out of that belief that all theology comes. You have to believe that there is a God. I mean, in Christianity, we can't even start thinking about our statement of faith. We can't start talking about heaven. We can't start talking about hell or salvation or forgiveness or the deity of Christ or the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the resurrection and the soon coming of Jesus. We can't start with any of those things unless we begin, as we do with our articles of faith, with the very first thing that says, we believe in one eternally existent, infinite God, sovereign creator and sustainer of the universe, that He only is God, holy in nature, attributes and purpose, the God who is holy love and light, is triune and essential being, revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's where we begin. That's what it's all about. Now, over the years, there are a whole lot of people that have said, well, there is no God. They've tried to tell us that religion is deceptive, that our theology is a lie. I mean, I want you to understand that a whole lot of the things that are out there in this world that they tell us that we need to believe, it takes more faith to believe in those things than it does to simply believe in the beginning God. In the beginning God. I mean, to look at all that there is and just think that somehow in random ways it all came together and you and I are here this morning. There's too much about all of this that cannot be explained except for that there was an intelligent designer who put all this together. I mean, there's no other way. It's just too far from happenstance. I mean, how can we look at what we have? I mean, I drive a Honda. Been driving a Honda for a long time, okay? So if you don't like Hondas, go get you a Toyota, you know. I thought I'd get an amen out of you on that one. But can I tell you something about that Honda? Somebody, somewhere who has a lot more intelligence than I do, designed that thing and put it together. I want you to walk out when you go out this afternoon and look at some of these trees. Now, I'm not wanting you to look at the trees for the sake of looking at the trees. I'm wanting you to look at the trees for the fact that this little thing that is in your head has millions and millions and millions and millions of light receptive cells. That the information that comes in about that tree that you are looking at, it travels from your eye to your brain at 300 miles an hour. Still didn't work in the snap of a finger. I mean, it happens. You cannot tell me in good conscience that you would believe that somehow all of this just somehow came together and all of a sudden I've got an eye that can see all of you people in here this morning. It has to come back to the fact that God exists. You got to start there. I mean, knowing all of that, the same God who existed before time and is the same God that works in our lives today, the same God that had the power to speak worlds into existence, is the same God that can come into your life and come into my life and speak peace in the midst of all of our storms. God is real. He exists. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He alone is God. There is no other. Before time began, He was. And when time ceases to exist as we know it, He will be. So when God says, I am, God is really saying, I exist. But that's not all. You move on down and looking at this. When God says, I am, not only is He saying, I exist, but you also come to the realization that when He says, I am, He is saying, I do not change. Last week, and I think it was last week, it might have been the week before last, in Yellowstone National Park, one of the geysers there exploded. Did y'all see that on the news? I mean, there were people out there, and this thing, boom, and rocks and all that stuff, they go flying. And since that time, I've seen a lot of scientists talk about what would happen if Yellowstone suddenly exploded, you know. Now, I've always wanted to go to Yellowstone. I've not had the opportunity to go there. I've always wanted to go and see Old Faithful. And so I began to, you know what a science nut I am, so I began to look at some of this stuff, you know. I mean, Old Faithful is probably the biggest attraction there in Yellowstone. And I've always thought and had this idea in my mind that it was like clockwork. You know, it erupted every hour on the hour. I mean, why else would you call it Old Faithful? My mind really worries me sometimes, you know. I think logically about a whole lot of things, and that was just one of those things. I came to find out that it erupts about every 94 minutes. And that eruption will last somewhere between 1 and 5 minutes. But it varies from day to day, and month to month, and week to week. Why didn't they call it Old Maybe? I mean, you know, I don't know. Someone has said that there's nothing permanent except for change. And we live in a changing society, don't we? I mean, towns are changing. We've been here almost 5 years. Do you guys realize that in October we will have been your pastor for 5 years? I know some of you think, oh my Lord, is it ever going to end? You know, I don't know, but no. I mean, towns are changing. Crossville has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. You know, prices have changed. Fears have changed. Fads have changed. Moods have changed. Churches change. You know. People change. I was reminded of an old illustration that I heard 100 years ago that Ma and Pa were sitting at a red light in the truck. Ma was sitting in the passenger seat. Pa was sitting in the driver's seat, and they... Beside them drove up a young couple, and they were sitting right up against each other just like Ma and Pa used to do. And Ma says to Pa, we don't sit as close as we used to. And Pa looks at her and says, I ain't moved. Things change. I mean, they really do. Sometimes the changes are small, and sometimes the changes are not so small. Sometimes they're for the better. Sometimes they're for the worse. Sometimes they come about because we choose different things. Some changes come about whether we choose them or not. It's just a part of life. We live in an ever-changing world, and it seems like about the time that we get used to something, something else comes along. And it can be stressful dealing with all the changes. You say, William, why all of that? Well, it is good to know that there is at least one thing in our world that does not change. See? Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James chapter 1, verse 17, James says that we are serving a God that does not change like shifting shadows. I mean, it's good to know that there is something. Let's change that word. It is good to know that there is someone who does not change. the God of the past is the God of the present. He will be the God of the future. It matters not. He does not change. One word that you can use about God, and it's one of those college words, it's immutable. And that word immutable means that it is not apt to change. It is not susceptible to change. It is not capable of change. Let me read what somebody said. He was God yesterday. He is God today. He will still be a God 1,000 years from now. Time has not worked against Him. Neither has it need for work to work for Him. His power has not decreased. Neither has it had reason to grow. He has not lost any of His wisdom. Neither has He a need to gain any more. His holiness has not diminished. Neither has He need to become more holy. He's always been perfect. There has been no need for improvement. He does not develop, grow, weaken, decline. He has always had and will always have all power. He has always had and will always have all wisdom and knowledge. He has always been and will always be holy. He has always been and will always be God. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. God looked at Moses and said, I am. I am the God of your fathers. I am the same now that I was then. He does not change. Praise His name. And that means that in a world that is in constant turmoil, God is stable. And you can put your confidence in Him. Your world may be in upheaval right now. God is still there. And He still is working in your life. He is working in my life. He is the Lord and He does not change. Last thing I want you to see this morning is not only when He said I am, did He mean that he exists. Not only when He said I am, did He mean I do not change. But I want you to get this last point, okay? You got to get this. When He said, I am, He was saying to Moses, He was saying to Israel, He was saying to you, and He's saying to me, I will be everything that you need. I'll be everything that you need. Every person in this room has all kinds of needs. I mean, some of us have financial needs. Some of us have physical needs. I mean, there's all kinds of needs. I mean, wherever you go, whatever you go, there's always going to be people with needs. I'll never forget Melva Bishop, who was the first church secretary for the church that I pastored in Russellville, Alabama. That was my first church, and I'm so thankful that God put me there because I learned so much there. And they put up with some really lousy preaching. If you think I'm bad now, you should have heard me then. I called on Melva to pray one Sunday evening. And as she prayed, she started out this way. She said, Lord, we are all needy people. That was 40 years ago. And I can still hear her saying it. We are all needy people. So when God says, I am, what better way is it for Him to say there, I'm going to meet every need that you have. I will be for you everything that you need. I mean, He's the great provider. He's the one who can meet our physical needs. He is the great physician. He's the one who can speak to the one dealing with relationship problems and He can say to them, I am the wonderful counselor. To somebody that needs to be saved, He is the Savior. I mean, to the one who is lonely, He's the best friend you'll ever have. To the one who needs strength, He is almighty. To the one who needs someone to care for them and someone to guide them, He is the shepherd. for somebody who needs refuge. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. Praise His name. What an encouragement. I mean, just think about it for a moment. What an encouragement it is to know that the God who spoke to Moses and said to Moses, I am. He was saying to Moses, you may have faltering lips. You may not think you can speak. You may not think you can do anything and everything, but I am with you. I will be everything that you need me to be. That's the reason Paul in Philippians chapter... I'm sorry, folks. That's the reason that Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the reason Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's the reason that David in Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The New International Version says it like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The New Living Translation says it like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Amen. God asked Moses to go and be a deliverer for His people. I'm telling you, Moses was scared to death. If nothing else, there had to be somebody in Egypt that still remembered he had killed an Egyptian. He was scared to death because he had abandoned all those people. And yet God says to him, I will be everything that you need me to be. I will do what you need me to do. I'm the one who will protect you. I'm the one who will touch your lips. I am the one who will convince the people that you are a chosen one. I will be the one whose power will free the Israelites. I am that I am. I will be all that you need. Someone once said that Mother Teresa said that you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I don't know what you need this morning. I have no clue. You came into this place this morning with smiles on your faces. You look good. I'm so glad to see you. You could be anywhere else in this world, but you chose to be here this morning. And I appreciate that. But I don't know what your needs are. But I'm glad to tell you this morning that the great I am, He does know. And He will be for you everything that you need. Application. There are a lot of names for God. I've looked at that slide that was at the very beginning of the presentation this morning that's on the PowerPoint. Wayne, can you go back? There you go. Thank you, sir. I'm telling you, He does a good job following me. Y'all just don't know. I mean, you look at those words, I am, and it begins with light of the world, gate, good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, it repeats them as it goes down through the true vine. The resurrection, all throughout that, it just goes over and over and over as you look at those statements. And I saw that, I just typed in I am, and that came up. Google is a wonderful thing. He is our provider. He is our banner. You go through the Old Testament and all the names of God that you find there. I mean, they're wonderful names. But the one that covers them all, the one that covers them all is I am. I am. It lets us know that He exists, that He never changes, and that He is going to be everything that we need. He is the great I am. And so, in the coming weeks, as we begin to move through those I am statements of Jesus, He is God. As we begin to look through those, I want you to know that He can and He will be all that you need Him to be. Out of all those statements, He will be what you need Him to be. Trust me. Believe me. At some point in time, if you've not found it this morning, at some point in time over the next 7 weeks, you're going to find Jesus to be all that you need Him to be. Praise His name. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we look at those simple words, I am, that they move from just being words on a page in a Bible to being the reality of who you are and what you can do. You exist. You do not change. And you will be everything that we need you to be. But in order for you to be all of those things to us, we have to accept you. We have to come to a point and place and time in our lives where we move beyond just a mental assent that there is a God, to a point and place and time in our life when we realize that there is a God, but that God loves me. And that He demonstrated His love toward me, that even while I was still a sinner, He died for me. And when we accept you, it may not mean that every situation and circumstance in our life changes, but it does mean that we have someone to go with us, to guide us, to help us, to encourage us, to be a friend to us. As we trust you, we can know that there is a God who will be everything that we need Him to be. I thank you, Lord, for these who have listened this morning. But Lord, if there's one here this morning that they've never come to a point and place and time of that they've put their trust and their confidence in you, right where they are standing this morning, they can simply say, God, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need you to come and to help me live a life for you. And Lord, when we come to you asking for forgiveness, you will forgive us. When we come to you saying, I need to know that there is something stable, thank you, God, that you are stable. When we have needs beyond our ability to meet, you are the God who will be for us everything that we really need. And so, Father, if there are those here this morning that said that simple but earnest prayer, I pray that you would bless them, that you would help them, and may your Spirit bear witness with their spirit that something has happened in their heart and in their life. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your Spirit that has been so faithful through your word to speak to this preacher's heart. And I believe you spoke to other hearts this morning who needed to hear from you. And so we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. And all God's people said, Amen. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. The rain. Jesus, 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 at all heaven and earth.
and kingdoms will all pass away.
Amen.
But there's something about that name.
God bless you. I love you. I hope you have a great day.